branches is connected there with a wedding garment also.
Brother Norman?
Well,
I think the question indicates some concern over this subject, and I'd like to say, of course, that it is a parable that is being dealt with, and the parable is to teach a lesson. And in my opinion, that has been brought out, the suggestion of the pastor is a correct one. The wedding garment of the parable implies that there is faith and respect that there's going to be a marriage. And so the robe represents the justification or the imputed righteousness of Christ. And all who would be acceptable must appear in the imputed righteousness of Christ. Now the picture given us in the parable is that of a wedding feast. Those that have appeared for the wedding feast are those that have heard the invitation, those that have accepted the invitation, those that have entered the door, and when they entered the door, they were given a wedding robe. Now, the acceptance of the wedding robe indicates more than merely justification. For by accepting the wedding robe, it means that the one in the application that we would put on it, means that one has, in putting on the wedding robe, they have accepted it from the standpoint of making a complete consecration. They've been sanctified. They've covenanted to lay down their lives and sacrifice, to be baptized into his death, to suffer with him, and all of that entails. This is pictured by the putting on of the wedding robe. Now, this wedding robe, then, is worn only by those who, as new creatures, still have the imperfections of the flesh to be covered, and they're covered by this wedding robe. Now, the thought is given to us that we must keep our robe unspotted. How could the righteousness of Christ be soiled? Well, that really isn't the thought. It's the thought that all of our sins, not necessarily will remain covered unless we, through proper repentance and effort to bring our lives into harmony with that which we see in the divine will, unless we do this daily and continually, we will not be able to keep our robes unspotted. So every error, every slip, every mistake is a spot on our wedding garment that must be removed by continually going to the Lord in prayer and seeking his forgiveness. If we don't do this, we become careless. We might even come to the point where we would describe some untruths as white lies. And this really shocks me when I hear brethren use this term, white lie. It's reprehensible. There's no such thing as a white lie. If it's an untruth, it's an untruth. Yet we find brethren today that are very careless with the truth. And this is the spotting of the wedding garment. I think that the embroidery of the wedding garment, we are justified. We receive the justification through faith. And we entered into this race course. But if we just have our sins covered and don't endeavor to then develop the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit to beautifully embroider this robe, then we will indicate that we don't have much concern about making ourselves ready for the marriage. The problem, I think, in this question is trying to mix a picture, trying to make everything fit into a parable, and it can't be done. The lesson here is that we receive the merit of Christ to cover our blemishes, and then we're to keep this robe pure, unspotted, our hearts in constant accord with the Heavenly Father, and we're to develop the Christ-like character. And if we do this, then we'll indicate to the Lord that we are fit to go in to the marriage and be joined together with him in power and great glory.
Brethren, we would like to emphasize particularly the concurrence with the comments that these three brethren have given on this question, which is a very difficult one. I might mention also that I appreciated each one of them in one way or another, underscoring some one particular good piece of advice that our pastor gave us, and he gave us a good many of them. But one of his pieces of advice fitting here is don't mix pictures, which is so easy to do, and I think every one of us has a tendency to mix pictures and then get ourselves and others confused. We like to use a parable illustrated in this way. Glass and hold it up perpendicular to your face so as it should be, and look through the center of it, you see one particular part of that overall much more clearly. But if you start twisting that glass around sideways, or if you try looking at it clear over in the edge, as we do when we get into all the details of a parable, you get a distorted viewpoint. And when we try to mix pictures or to get all the details into the picture in a parable, we get into trouble. So I think our pastor's advice is still very good. Don't mix pictures. And this applies to quite a number of the questions that we have read, and also a number that we didn't have time to read. We only covered around 60% of the questions that were up here. We're sorry we didn't have more time, but I want to thank the panel for the hard work that they did on this, and now we turn it back to Brother Lyle Cook. I suggest maybe the first and last verses of a song so that we can stay on time.
We want to thank the panel. You know, a chairman can speak for the audience and they can speak for the panel. And we'd like to speak for the audience and say thank you very much to the panel for their hard work, their labor of love. I'd like to speak for the panel a moment and call your attention to the spirit with which these thoughts were given. They were not hammered down your throats or spoken out with anything but, I'm sure, a full amount of love. That the truth itself does the speaking. And so I'm sure we as the audience have received it in that manner. We realize that questions can be very stumbling, that is, they can retard our progress. And so I'm sure we as an audience appreciate the ability to ask brethren their opinion on certain topics that it might help and speed our progress. We think that we do not have time for a selection, so we would simply ask our Brother Newell to close with prayer. Brother Newell,
our most gracious, precious, and loving Father in heaven, Thou in whom we all trust and who is the source of all good, we bow before Thee in humility of heart and with appreciation and love and the desire to reverence Thy holy name and the character for which it stands. We thank Thee for the privilege and responsibility of considering these questions in the light of the Scriptures and of the helps that Thou hast provided for Thy people at this time. And we pray that Thou wilt help and direct each of us that we may receive spiritual benefit from the answers and that we may apply them in our daily lives, that we may all become more Christ-like. And we thank, as we ask these things, we thank Thee for all Thy blessings granted unto us here and everywhere so freely. Now we pray that Thou wilt bless us as we partake of the temporal provisions and that we may use the strength acceptably in Thy sight and service, in the service of our Lord and Savior and of our dear brethren. We ask it all in the precious and worthy name of Jesus, our Lord and Master.